Dieser Podcast wird präsentiert von Chancen MV und dem Land zum Leben Mecklenburg-Vorpommern. MV tut gut. Unterstützt mit Mitteln aus dem Europäischen Fonds für regionale Entwicklung.
Hallo und herzlich willkommen zur 7. Episode von Lokalhelden MV. Diesmal mitten in einem Gewitter in der Aufnahme. Das heißt, wenn es im Hintergrund grummelt, das ist weder ein LKW noch mein Magen. Das nur als kleiner Disclaimer vorab. Und noch eine kleine andere vielleicht Änderung im Vergleich zu den bisherigen Episoden wird sprachlicher Natur sein, denn diese Episode soll mal so ein bisschen unserer internationalen Community im Land gewidmet sein und deswegen sitzt nämlich auch schon Justin mir gegenüber, der gebürtiger Brite ist, und damit wir hier das auch alles einigermaßen ordentlich auf die Reihe kriegen beziehungsweise aufs Tongerät, werden wir diesen Podcast heute mal in Englisch machen und ja, ich bin ganz gespannt. Ein paar Fragen sind vorbereitet. Ich freue mich aufs Gespräch. Deswegen, hi Justin.
Hello.
So, as I started with every guest in this series, give us a little insight into you, your person, your background.
Yeah, fine. Well, first of all, thank you for having me on this podcast and also that I can speak in my, as you say in German, mother tongue or my native tongue. So, British, as you said before, come from near to London, and background is that I worked in business in the UK, private sector, public sector, charity sector. Governance was my kind of key forte, and studied business management as well. I have a family, two girls, one is 13 and the other one is 18, and I'm married to a German lady, Christine, who comes from South Germany. So not originally from here. So and here in Rostock, I have my own small business. We do business English and intercultural training for businesses. So hopefully that's a little bit of insight into my background.
And I've just heard that one of your daughters is actually another hidden champion, let's say, on her musical career. Give us a little insight into that.
Yeah, that's true, because you know about that as well. Yes, the younger one, 13, seems to have an incredible talent for songwriting and singing. And she entered a competition on Kika, ZDF, excuse me. And in front of a jury, she went through every round, got to the final, live on stage on TV back in March. And the live phone-in voted for her, and so she won the competition against older children mainly with her song called Outside and Inside, and you can hear that on YouTube or on Spotify as well. So yes, indeed, she is a talented young lady.
Very nice, very nice. So of course, you know, you gave us a little, you know, insight into your family background, and you said that you married a lady from Southern Germany, but actually what made you come to Mecklenburg-Vorpommern? What reason was there?
Yeah, what possible reason?
For you to actually move from the London area and Great Britain, not only just to Germany, but especially to the state here.
Yeah, that's always a really good question, and not so many people ask that. There is logic. I mean, people I meet in Rostock who are not German, like, you know, from Britain or Ireland, I always ask them the same question, and normally it's for love. They met someone from Rostock, you know, over in America, and then they found out they come from Rostock, and that was not the same for us, actually. Well, first thing is, I just need to explain that my wife and I, we met in England, and we always said that at some stage we probably ought to come over and live in Germany. And when our first child was coming to school age, it was kind of now or never. So we knew that we would go to Germany, but the question was where. And I think we had a holiday here, actually, in 2006. We had a holiday in Zingst, Fischlandarts, I think it's called.
Yeah.
I was really impressed with just the landscape and, you know, being by the sea. And we visited Rostock and kind of liked it. It was raining that day, which not much has changed, really, to be honest. It does rain quite a lot here. But then everyone says, well, you come from London, it's the same there. So I felt very at home. So I said to Christine, you know, if we are to move to Germany, I would want to be on the coastal area. And of course, Rostock for me was the ideal size, not too big, not too small. I can imagine setting up a business here. So, you know, there was no rocket science behind it as such, but impressed with the area and love the, as I said, the landscape. And that's why in the end we chose Rostock. And that is back in 2010. We came here in 2010.
Nice. That's actually a nice, or brings me to my other question. What, you know, made you actually stay here? Because of course, you just said that you decided to move here or to, you know, like kind of find yourself here for a longer period.
Yeah.
But you know, we have now 22 actually, and you're still here. So
beside the
family issues, there may be some other reasons.
Yeah.
Why you're actually here.
Yeah.
This is like the first part of the question, and especially what I'm interested in is if you compare the, you talked about the landscape, the people, you know, if you compared like now to when you got here, are there any like differences that you notice or
also a good question. I think staying was always I mean, a few people asked if we would go back, but actually Rostock has become it really has become our home for a couple of reasons. I think the first reason would be the girls, you know, have settled here with school, and to uproot and go back to England again, I think would have been quite difficult for all of us. So it was really about really getting our roots down here. And so that was the first consideration. We want the girls to complete the school. So Emmeline, my older daughter, has just finished her Abbey. And Amelia, of course, has, you know, about 5 more years to go. So there's definitely that. But I don't think we will go back. I'm pretty sure we'll stay here. We've bought a house here as well. So we feel part of the community. I have my business here. You know, we've really developed that business with contacts and relationships and work. And that's really, really going well. Coming to the second point about how it's changed, I think the thing I've noticed the most is, interestingly, is the internationalism. I think Rostock is actually not totally different, but a lot different now in terms of the multicultural people who are here now that 12 years ago definitely were not here. And so that is one thing. Of course, shops and businesses and things grow and change. But for me, the thing I noticed the most is that Rostock has become more international. Now, if you compare it to Hamburg or Berlin, of course, that's different. They're kind of further ahead, if you like. But nevertheless, I think over the last 12 years, the international side, you know, I'm talking about people coming from other countries to live, visit and work here. I've noticed there are a lot more international people here than previously.
Did you notice any kind of you know, circumstances or, you know, something that was interfering with your path when you got here? Like, for example, I mean, you know, even people from different other parts of Germany say that we in Northern Germany have a particular kind of culture or behavior, you know?
I know what you're saying.
So that's why I could imagine that if you... as an international guy, move here, set up a family house and everything.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, I could see some kind of issues with your neighbors, with the cashier, with whoever, you know.
So
are there any, or have there been any any kind of, you know, things blocking you from you know, your normal life?
Yeah, I know what you mean. So unsurprisingly... bureaucracy is one of those things, I think.
Of course.
especially, you know, if you want to do anything, you need to be registered locally. And then, of course, everything takes twice as long as it should. That's how it feels.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I must say Britain is quite bureaucratic as well, but Germany would win the gold medal every time, I think, in the Olympics. If it was an Olympic sport, they would.
So that hasn't changed at all. Huh?
Not really. But on the other hand, I mean, you're right. I've heard this about North Germans being quite reserved, I think, is kind of what I've heard, compared to maybe, you know, people from Saxony or in the south. And I have noticed this. I think I've got more used to it. But interestingly, when I first came here, I was really focused on learning German so I could feel more integrated. But now I can speak, you know, my German's not fluent, but I can get by in a, you know, in a restaurant and understand most things and can talk. But I do find that people are kind of more interested in me, or they're more patient with me if I speak in English. So if I go into a restaurant, I don't normally, I know it sounds bad, I don't normally speak in German, I speak in English. I'm kind of sure I get better service, but I can't prove it. So yeah, I would say that the barrier's kind of more to do with kind of, you know, bureaucracy in places, but people have always been helpful in those places. Because I don't know if you, we might have said some time ago, I got German citizenship alongside my British citizenship because of Brexit. And the local, I guess it's the Migrationsamt, I mean, they were so helpful, so patient. And, you know, they were so accommodating and wanting to, you know, just help me with my application. And yet I've heard other stories where they're not so. Is that anything to do with me being British? I have no idea, but all I can say is it's bureaucratic, but I've always been kind of well received in most places that I go to, whether it's a shop or a restaurant or an Amt or somewhere.
A couple of minutes ago, you already kind of dived into the international community aspect here. How is the international community here situated? What is it like? What's your impression of the maybe Rostock or even Mecklenburg-Vorpommern international community or ecosystem here?
Yeah. So I was fascinated when I come across people who, you know, you hear in the street or somewhere in a pub or something, you hear someone who's not speaking German and it's English. So if it's Irish or Australian or whatever. So, of course, I naturally always would like to talk to those people to find out, why have you come to Rostock? So that's been growing over the years, that's clear. I mean, I even remember when I was in hospital 2 years ago, it turned out that the Oberarzt there was from Australia, and I was really happy to be able to talk to him in English whilst I was in pain with my Nierenstein. Yeah, so, you know, the international community is springing up everywhere, and it continues to do so, especially in workplaces as well. Some of the companies where I work, there are more people from overseas working and more English is being used. I know there are communities here that meet on a regular basis, and I know there are forums as well online, you know, in Facebook, who get together and they arrange meetups. I mean, you know as well, Max, I organize a pub quiz every first week or second week in the month here in Rostock, and that attracts a lot of people from different countries who want to be able to use English. So whether they're South American or North American or Australian, they come along. So I wouldn't say I have so much to do with the international community directly, but certainly I know there is a lot going on, and it definitely has grown for sure over the last 12 years or so.
Is there something that you particularly like about the region, whether it's landscape or the people or whatever? I can't imagine of anything, but I'm interested.
Excuse me, you mentioned the people. I mean, I think if I really say what attracts me, it comes back again to the reason why we came here, and that was the landscape and having the sea and the greenery. I mean, I know it's brownery at the moment because we don't have so much rain. But, you know, the Mecklenburg-Vorpommern is filled with a lot of lovely places, nature reserves, big parks, away from the beach and the coastline. You've also got a nice kind of secondary area behind that as well. It's so vast. It's so big. If I think of, you know, like, you know, the Darz area, or going further south towards, further west along the coast, there down to Kulungsborn. And for me, what's really attractive is having the sea, the beach, which you can go to in all weathers. And it's really kind of, I would say, invigorating. You know, it kind of gives you life. So for me, that's always been the attraction specifically for this region.
So you would agree as well when people say, you know, we work where others go for vacation.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So is that something that you like about the state, actually?
Yeah, I do. And I have heard this where people say, yeah, you work where the people come on holiday. I've met a couple of people who've come off the cruise ships in Warnemünde and have come to me and asked me, thinking I'm German, and said, excuse me, could you tell me where is the local whatever? And then I answer in English and say, oh, yeah, actually, the supermarket is down there on the left, on the right, blah, blah, blah. And oh, do you live here? And, well, not here in Warnemünde, but I just live not so far. And they oh, you're so lucky. You're so lucky. And sometimes you have to maybe think about that and think, actually, yeah, I am lucky or fortunate to live in such a nice area. Of course, it's not perfect here, like any place or any city. We have, you know, our problems. But generally speaking, I think we have a really good place to live here.
I think that's actually, you just made a good point that with the cruise ships, for example, or general, the whole tourism industry here that is pretty strong as the economy of the state. I think, yeah, you know, those industries or those, you know, sources, let's say, bring in a whole lot of international people, temporarily, of course, but still, you know, yeah. I think this is, again, something where we should be, you know, happy about that. So many different people from different countries, different regions in the world and different cultures actually come here to what, Rostock? To visit our state, our cities, our country.
You're right.
And not just go simply to Berlin, Hamburg, Munich, you know, those typical places. But they drop off here on ships or from ships and on board again. So I think this is, again, you know, bringing some multicultural aspects into our nice region here.
I agree with you. I think we've got a lot to offer here. And I think that Berlin, I don't mean this in a disrespectful way to Berlin or Hamburg, but it's kind of predictable there. And here, I think we've got some nice kind of hidden gems and places, you know, where you can wander and enjoy good beaches or wherever. So, yeah, I think, I mean, ask anyone in London if they've heard of Rostock. I doubt that very much. Everyone knows Berlin, but actually we've got a lot to offer in this area, I think.
That's true. You work together with a number of companies here, as you mentioned, with your, for example, business English courses. But still, you either have worked or do it right now still with companies in different countries. So, of course, you know, this question is like present on the silver plate. What is the most significant difference of Germans against other, let's say, general other citizens from any country and any country you would pick?
So I mean, to be honest, I have to compare Britain with Germany because I've lived in both countries, so
I can
kind of say
I'm curious.
I know what I'm talking about. So, well, I think with Germans, Germans are, I mean, again, not unsurprisingly, I think Germans are more direct than British, and that's a good thing and also a bad thing because it depends on what you're talking about. So, when I give you an example, when I first met my wife, we met, as I said earlier, we met in Britain. One of the first things she said to me was kind of, your hat doesn't suit you, and more or less said it like that. Whereas in British English, you would say, oh, have you thought about another kind of hat? Which means the same thing, but just saying it differently. So Germans are definitely much more kind of direct in saying things, not all the time, but generally much more direct. And I think also something I noticed definitely in business as well is that I'm not sure if this is a good thing or a bad thing, but you know, Germans are not, let's say, skilled or maybe not raised in the way of doing small talk or not really knowing how to do it, or actually not so much that, but they don't see the point of it. I think that's what I want to say. They don't really see the point of small talk. And if you kind of anywhere in Britain, maybe not London because London's very international, anywhere in Britain, you could stand in a queue or, I don't know, stand somewhere like a bus stop or something and just start a conversation with someone like, oh, the weather's bad today, isn't it? And they go, yeah, but I hear it's going to be better tomorrow. So you really can do that. Now, Germans would say that's very shallow. But I would say, yeah, it's not intended to be shallow. It's actually intended just to kind of break a silence. And in a business circle, that small talk is actually more about building a relationship of trust before you get into the main business. So I'm not saying, I suppose I should not say, oh, Germans are not good at it, because that's not the way that Germans have developed their culture to do small talk. But I guess it's what we need to understand is that different cultures do different things, and we should value that, even if it's different to what we do or what we're used to. I hope that makes sense.
Yeah, that's actually something that I always noticed being a German in a different country. For example, being in London, or as I've been in Texas in March this year.
Yeah,
you know, I just went into a Starbucks, and you know, in my mind I was like, yeah, you want this whatever cappuccino, that was just okay, cappuccino. Yeah, you know. And then I got to the counter lady there,
yeah,
and everything in my head was just, yeah, one cappuccino to go, please.
Yeah, right.
And
yeah,
she was like, hi, how are you? And I was like, yeah, good, but cappuccino. You know.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
I think, you know, you notice those things that you just mentioned,
yeah,
that we, you know, our way of thinking is like coming more or less straight to the issue, to the point, you know, and no not bullshit around, yeah, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
You know, it's different, but yeah, so
you're right.
You actually made a good point in those differences.
Yeah.
You are, as a person, you are an entrepreneur, you are an, of course, international guy. You are a family father and so on. Is there something, maybe even or specifically in those three areas, that you miss in the region here or the city or whatever?
Yeah,
maybe if we go through all those three chapters of your person.
Yeah, well, I think the kind of easier one to start with would be the kind of on the business side, I think, the entrepreneur side, which is probably, I mean, maybe that's also connected with the others, but more so being an entrepreneur. I think for me, and I know this sounds a bit strange, but it's connected with kind of this focus of understanding what customer service is, and whether that's how we're dealt with in a restaurant or how we're dealt with by another business in business. I think that because I come from a culture where customer service is the thing, I think I kind of noticed that that's not such a focus here. I'm not sure if that's just in Rostock or wider, actually. I think it is wider, actually. I think it's more of a German thing. But being truly customer-centric, customer-focused, and treating people like they're the most important thing when they come into your shop or restaurant or into their business, because that's how business should function. We come back again to this whole thing about relationships and building trust. And part of kind of customer loyalty for me would center on this kind of, you know, being customer focused, customer centered. Whether that's just simply a very simple question, or whether that's giving a refund or whatever it is, I don't know. But for me, that would be the kind of the business side. I think the thing on the what's missing kind of international, I know this also sounds a little bit strange, but just bear with me a moment. I think it's the English, being able to speak English. Now, I would not say that anyone who lives here should only speak in English. I don't believe that. I think because I live here, I've learned German, and I think anyone who lives here should learn German. I think that's the right way to integrate. But of course, we are a cruise ship stopping place, and on that basis, I think if you're offering a service for customers who are international, I think that you should actually be at least able to offer some kind of basic service in English, whether that's for a coffee or selling something in a restaurant, especially in Warnemünde. And I don't mean that in an offensive way at all. I don't think that you have to speak perfect English. I don't know anybody who speaks perfect English, actually, in Rostock. Not even my wife speaks perfect English. But I do think from an international perspective, that's kind of important, because we are a tourist hub, and most tourists will try and speak English. So I hope that's not taken as a criticism. I don't mean it. I just think it's something that can be improved. As a family father, I think, from my perspective, there's nothing I can really add of value. I mean, I've got two children who spend most of their time on tablets and computers indoors, which I'm kind of not so happy about, but I think that's every father's struggle.
That's this Gen Z thing everybody talks about, huh?
Yeah, indeed. I mean, to be honest, if anyone's listening who wants to meet my children, at least get them out my house for a few hours, I'd be very happy to hear from you. Yeah, yeah, because then I've got less pressure and less worry at home.
So your family perspective, you think, is so MV fits quite properly to your family life, would you say?
Yes, I think so. I think so. I think, as I said before, I mean, as I said, one of my daughters has finished at school. She was at school in Warnemünde. We live on the eastern side of Rostock. So everything's in a good distance for my children to travel into the city or to travel and see their friends. I kind of like that. It's, as I said, Rostock's not too big, nor is it too small. It's comfortable. And something I forgot to say is, you know, coming from London, I mean, London was a lovely city for many reasons, but it also was not the safest city. And I have to say that Rostock, I feel totally safe, and I feel totally safe that my children can go out there and use the public transport or whatever. The chances of anything happening to them is very, very low indeed. So I feel very safe as a father for my children and also for my wife in the city. And that can be underestimated. If you're living in Berlin, maybe, or in London, you'll realize that after certain times, you don't go to certain places. And I think in Rostock, that wouldn't really cross my mind, to be quite honest.
That's true, actually. But what do you think about their, like, your children's perspectives and career chances here? Because I've heard that a lot, you know, especially in the business context, you know, about this specialized people and like career options for younger people and the discussion on whether to stay here or to move or to come back. And you know, what do you think about that?
Yeah, that is very, very good point, actually, because my older daughter is kind of looking outwards from Rostock. My younger daughter is not probably thinking about that at the moment, but although actually she has been looking at accommodation in Leipzig for some reason. I think she's thinking of being a musician in Leipzig. I don't know why that's in her head. So, yeah, I mean, I would love them to stay in Rostock if there were opportunities. As I said, I think those opportunities are increasing. They definitely have been over the last 20 years, that's for sure. But I think, you know, to be quite open and frank about it, I think that, you know, if you are looking for kind of something which is a bit wider than what can be offered here, then of course you would be looking elsewhere. I mean, the other thing that our family is, of course, we're bilingual. That both of my girls are actually officially English. I mean, they're English German, of course, and so they kind of, because they can speak English very well, they're also thinking about, yeah, well, it would be no problem for them to go and work in America because they already have the language, they don't have to learn it or anything, or Britain or Australia or New Zealand. So I think, yeah, there are opportunities here, but let's be open and fair and say, but you're still limited, actually. I think there's there is, of course, there's more potential elsewhere outside MECPOM. It also depends upon what kind of sector you want to go into. I mean, if you want to go into hospitality or you know, like something like cruise ships or whatever, you know, then actually I think there are some opportunities here. But I would think more in terms of, if you want to go down the route of technics or IT or something like that, then I would think that you would be looking not in this region, but probably looking elsewhere. Would you say that's fair, Max?
Because you're
probably a year better than me. Yeah. Okay.
Probably be the reason. I mean, of course, it's always depending on your background and what proficiencies you bring along, but still, I think, but we are developing, I have a feeling, that, there's many initiatives trying to, you know, improve the framework of either economically or, you know, the lifestyle and the living standards here.
Yeah.
So I think there are chances that more younger people are either willing to move here in the first place or come back or at least stay here.
Yeah.
So yeah, maybe interesting to follow up on that.
Yeah.
But is there anything? Because you know, we actually met here a couple of years ago in the Basislager co-working space here.
Yeah, and we did.
Which is why you, of course, know a couple of founders and young entrepreneurs, young people, young businesses, as well as let's say more traditional SMEs.
Yeah.
Is there, beside that specific framework, some advice you could or would give somebody living here, working here, aiming to come here? Is there something, or maybe even the politics, I don't know.
Okay, yeah.
Is there some advice you would give as a citizen of Mecklenburg-Vorpommern?
Yeah, that's a good question, actually. I think that if I had to give advice to someone who, you know, is already here, been here some time, or a politician, I think it might sound a little bit stupid, but I would say the German way is not the only way.
Oh, that's good.
And I don't mean, I'm always apologizing, aren't I? I shouldn't apologize so much. I'm British.
You're
that's
British.
What we do.
That's
part of our
That's
blood.
Okay. You already introduced that.
But, you know, out in the wide world, outside Mecklenburg-Vorpommern, there are other ways of doing things. And I don't mean that in a bad way, but the ways that German do things, I mean, let's just take, for example, this kind of word Ordnung in German. So at the end of my street, there are these bottle containers and there's different colours. And then at the end of my house, there are all these bins. I think I've got four coloured bins. There's a blue one, a brown one, a black one, and another coloured one, yellow one, that's right. And at the end of my street, there's a Kleiderspender and a shoe place where I can put my shoes. And then round the corner, I've got the Recyclinghof where... So Ordnung comes to mind when I think of these things. And probably a lot of people would be proud about that. You know, that's like we do things in an efficient and effective way. And the best way is the German way. And I wouldn't always disagree with that. But as we say in English, there's more than one way to skin a cat. As long as you skin the cat, you can use different ways. So that's a saying. And I would say that. I would say, you know, there's more than one way to skin a cat. And we should try different ways of achieving the same objective. And without trying, we're not taking risks. And without risks, we're not really moving forwards. So I would say, you know, let's experiment, let's try different ways. We will fail from time to time. I've noticed that as well, Max, I think you have as well, is that sometimes I've come across a bit of a blame culture here because something's gone wrong and we need to find out whose fault it is. But if we're only focused on that, whose fault it is, we're never going to move forward because then people won't take risks because they're worried about failure or being blamed. But if we did something a little bit more maybe American, where we take risks and later we can then say, okay, why did it go wrong and how do we make sure that didn't happen again, rather than saying whose fault was it and why did they do that. So I would say, you know, we need to take risks, we need to be open, and as I said, there's more than one way to skin a cat, as we say.
Nice, thank you. That actually brings me to my last question, as usual in this podcast series, which is called Lokalhelden MV, and you know it, the listeners know it. The last question is always, what makes up a local hero in your eyes?
Yeah. It connects actually with what I've just said, because I was thinking about this. And I was thinking, people who like to do something that goes against what everyone else does. And I don't mean that in a negative way, of course. I don't mean, you know, committing crime because everyone else obeys the rules. But I think that for me, it's about someone wanting to do something good for the city or for MVL, but trying something a little bit different that maybe isn't the German way, you know? So whether it's, I don't know, whether it's something like going along the beach and picking up all the litter and not being embarrassed about it, or whether you're helping people in a way. I just give you one example of this. Maybe it just helps a bit to understand what I'm saying, is that In my hometown, which is not actually London, it's just north of London, if someone breaks down in their car on the road, within minutes, people who are driving would stop their cars and come over and say, look, do you want me to push the car to the side and let's just get the car off the road? That helps them and it helps the traffic. It's kind of this collective community responsibility, that people want to help one another. Now, when I was here, I'd been here for a couple of months, I saw a car had broken down on the road, and I got out of the car, went across to this guy, and then my best German said, "Do you want me to help move your car?" And he looked at me like I was completely crazy. And I took that meaning, no, it's okay, it can stay. Now, I'm not saying that we should all now start in Rostock helping one another to push cars to the side. But I do think that we can always be community-minded, helping people in our communities, looking out for one another, having regard for other people rather than just ourselves. If your neighbour's looking out for you and I'm looking out for my neighbour, then we're both covered. And it just creates a better bond, a better feeling, a better atmosphere, you know. And even if it's just putting your neighbour's bin back from the end of the street into their trash can, sorry. I keep talking about trash. I'm not focused on trash, I promise. You know, just doing these little things where even when driving, flashing your lights, I'm not sure if that's illegal, but flashing your lights to let another car come out, it just creates a nicer feeling, as it were. So for me, someone who acts in this way, you know, which sometimes surprises me, I think these are very small things, but actually it's the small things altogether that make up a really big positive feeling in us. So for me, that would be what makes a local hero in my eyes.
I could not finish this episode better than with those words. So I just leave it like this.
Great.
Justin, thank you for your time and being here on this episode today.
You're welcome.
And giving us a little, you know, a view on how the international community is here situated, or how it may develop, and what actually is necessary for people like you to move here, to stay here, to develop here. So yeah, thanks again. I hope everybody on the headphones also got something out of it today. And I think if somebody wants to connect to you, you mentioned the pub quizzes.
That's right. Yeah.
To get in touch with you on LinkedIn, or actually just get into the Basislager here and have a chat with you, buy some coffee, right?
Indeed. Indeed. Very happy to talk with anyone as long as it's in English.
All right.
Thanks a lot, Max. Thank you.
Dieser Podcast wird präsentiert von Chancen MV und dem Land zum Leben Mecklenburg-Vorpommern. MV tut gut, unterstützt mit Mitteln aus dem Europäischen Fonds für regionale Entwicklung.